And as we get closer to the general election, we want to take a look at one factor that may play into which party voters choose to belong to. And that factor is gender. There are, of course, exceptions, but overall, women are more likely to vote Democratic and men are more likely to vote Republican. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He's been looking into why gender impacts voting patterns, and he joins us from Washington as he does each Monday. Derek, welcome back.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So, Derek, I want to talk about the number of women who vote. You point out that while the 19th Amendment was ratified in 1920, for a while after that, women didn't vote very much, or if they did, they just voted how their husbands did.
Right. So for the first few decades after the 19th Amendment, which, as you said, passed 100 years ago, women didn't vote nearly as much as men. And the conventional wisdom was that they voted however their husbands told them to vote. George Gallup, whose surname now adorns that famous polling company, said in 1940 of women, quote, "How will they vote on election day? Just exactly as they were told the night before." So there was this impression, this chauvinist impression, that women would simply vote however they were told.
And that began to change with baby boomers. How so?
So this amendment is passed in 1920. And for the first few years, women didn't vote nearly as much as men, in part because they might not have really developed a habit of voting as much as men, or they felt like they were discouraged to vote by their husbands, by their bosses. But starting with the boomer generation, in the 1970s, 1980s, when the baby boomers started to vote for the first time, you had these large groups of people who essentially said, "I'm growing up with the right to vote, with women's suffrage. Of course I'm going to vote." And now women, in fact, vote slightly more than men in every single election. And in each of the last two presidential contests, women have actually outvoted men by 10 million ballots.
And in terms of why women vote specifically Democratic, you say that there was a big shift around the time of President Reagan. What happened?
The Republican Party moved sharply to the right on a handful of issues. The party dropped its support of the Equal Rights Amendment. It embraced an anti-abortion position when, in the 1970s, it had from time to time actually embraced the pro-choice side of the debate. And it aggressively courted conservative Christians who, in many cases, sort of lamented the effect that working women had on traditional families. So Reagan won that election handily. He won re-election as well. But he lost women by 8 points. In 1980. And this was the first time ever that we really saw a gender gap in the electorate. So in the last four decades, in the last 40 years, since 1980, the gender gap has grown from 8 points to 10 points to 11 points to 13 points in 2016. It has created this enormous gender gap within the electorate that we really hadn't seen before.
We see that a significant majority of American women registered to vote say they will not support President Trump's reelection effort. I'm just curious from you, based on your reporting, is this solely anti-Trump sentiment or pro-Democrat support?
That's a really, really interesting question. I think maybe there are three categories to consider here. One is anti-Trump sentiment specifically. Second, I do think that the majority of voting women today are anti-Republican. What's also happening, though, is you have a phenomenon called negative partisanship. And negative partisanship means, you know, not only are you sort of pro-Democrat, but also your pro-Democrat sentiments are mostly anti-Republican sentiments. You consider the opposing party to be somewhat demonic. So I think if you put it together, all three things are happening. You have anti-Trumpism, you have anti-Republicanism, and then you have this association with the Democratic Party that is mostly about negative partisanship more than it's about, you know, loving Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders so much.
Do you see any signs of this changing where gender won't be such a factor in our voting?
Not only do I not see any signs of this changing, my prediction, and this isn't necessarily a happy prediction, is that I think the gender gap is going to continue to grow. Because not only do you have men sorting into the Republican Party and women sorting into the Democratic Party, but also you have those parties recognizing that their base is one gender versus the other, and therefore trying to adapt their platform to court that base. You have Donald Trump singing the praises of mining jobs rather than nursing jobs. Well, mining is a mostly male profession. Nursing is mostly female, even though it's growing faster than the mining industry. In the Democratic Party, I think that you could make a strong argument that women in America, because they're more likely to live below the poverty threshold, rely more on food stamps, rely a little bit more on the welfare state, belong to a party whose debates are all about how to strengthen that welfare state, how to strengthen government-regulated sectors like education and healthcare, which are also dominated by female employment. So not only do you have the political sorting, you also have the platforms amending themselves to address their own constituency once the gender gap is established. And as a result, I think you're going to see the gender gap grow. We could be seeing, you know, a 2032 election, for example, in which maybe there's a 20-point gap between male and female voters.
Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.